Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Who got it? It's time for episode 683 of Who Charted, the show where comedians discuss the top 5 songs and movies of the week. Congratulations, you have reached Checkpoint All-Star Weekend on your way to summer 2024. I'm your host, H. Michael Cray, a.k.a. Chart Linklater, Howard Kramer. And with me as always, Brett, Peter, BPM Morris, a.k.a. Starred. What's up, Starred?
What's up to you? How's it going?
Very well, very well. We are in the midst of a rainstorm here in L.A. And I thought it would be gone by now. I guess it rains every February, but I'm always figure it's going to be gone and not come back.
How's your ceiling?
Ceiling's great. No leaks? Never had a leak. Never had a leak at the manor. How about
you're that? Lucky. You're lucky with that. I feel like every LA apartment has just like yellow spots in the roof once it starts raining.
Okay.
Like
this
they
is
just
a
don't.
Manor, so it's more of a
it is a manor.
Yeah. Some protected. Wainscoting. I don't know. I keep seeing that word in books. Do you have that at your place?
What's it called?
Wainscoting.
Wainscoting. I've never heard that word in my life.
Wainscoting.
Sounds like a Chumba Wubba song.
Yeah. I'm not sure what it is, but yeah. Wainscoting. The big hit. Yeah. So that's going on, but I'm excited to cut through this weather and reunite with our guest.
All right. I can't wait.
Here he comes now. Look at that. Gang, you know him from TMBG and episode 614 of WC Who Charted. He was soon to be touring the Midwest. Welcome back to the charts, John Flansburgh.
Gold!
Boom!
Hello! Hello!
Welcome back.
Great to have
I'm
you back.
I'm here to answer all your questions about wainscoting.
Oh, yeah. Our guest is going to know this.
It's a very
sure.
New York thing, you guys. It's the trim along the top of apartments that you use to, you put like fishing line down from it, and you can hang paintings or mirrors or things off the on the wall without putting nails in the wall.
Oh. So is that something that you could see? If you walk
it's
in
like
a
little,
then.
It's like a little sort of ripple along the ceiling line that is actually pretty ubiquitous in old apartments. Like it's definitely a old school New England, New York kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, like whaling days, back in the whaling days.
Exactly.
Has that word ever popped up in a They Might Be Giants song?
Sounds no, like. but I think it should be the title of our next single.
I think it should be.
Although I guess maybe if we were more like, maybe if we did a collab with the Decemberists, we could launch that.
Oh, there you go. They're into the home decor and things of that ilk.
I'm right seeing now, pictures online where it looks like it maybe could also mean when people have that sort of trim that goes like halfway up the wall from the ground. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, yeah. I like, think that actually has another name. I think that's
coming
name.
Back.
That, yeah.
Whatever
sort of
that
cottage,
is.
Cottage like core stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, cottage core. I like that term. I haven't heard that.
Oh yeah.
That's what cottage my tortoise believes in, cottage core. She's got like a little cottage out back.
Wow.
Very, very sparse.
What about tortoise core?
Very rustic.
Believe in that?
Yeah.
Well, welcome back to the charts. It's good to see you.
It's great to see you guys.
It's great to see that there's technical diffs too. I don't mean to expose anybody, but when you're having trouble with Zoom or the mic, it just it brightens
Howard's,
my heart.
Howard's delighted when I have to at all, like, you know, wait for someone else to get their tech set up. You know, Howard loves
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I just sort of bombed in here, so, you know, I had to dust a few things off.
Yeah, you have a cello behind you. I'm
yes,
eyeing
that's
right
my, that's
now.
My wife's cello, actually.
Oh, is it?
And yeah, she just dusted that off like a week ago, so.
Do you jam together?
We jam a little bit. We were actually doing like a sampling session, which was kind of whole other bag of tricks.
You go, hey, play that lick again. Which one? Yeah, that right. one, that not that one, right, the other one. Right.
No, I got to loop this.
Well, we look forward to hearing that. And
I wonder if that's, is that less rancorous than like building IKEA furniture together or more?
I've like, never, I've never done a collabo building furniture because it's so, so insanely frustrating. I don't think I could, that could be a shared experience.
It doesn't go well in my experience.
No. Well, I mean, it doesn't go well at all.
You know. right.
I have a whole set of shelves. I have three sets of shelves in my basement that I bought that I cannot figure out how to assemble. I couldn't get off, like, I could, it was like a total failure to launch.
So they're just still there?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I think, I realize now that they were over-painted. So, like, so they actually don't, like, they don't fold,
they don't
fit
in
together.
The paint's too thick.
Oh, okay. So, maybe maybe a wainscot could help in this situation.
Yeah.
Hang them off.
Yeah.
Wainscot that shit.
Yeah.
All right. Shall we get in the music chart?
Sure.
Let's do it.
Music.
We used to play LPs, 8 tracks, cassettes, and CDs. Now we download and we stream. What's next, ChatGPT? Tunes.
All right, for this chart, let me put it to you guys. This is like a just a either or choice. Would you rather go top five on Spotify? This will just be top 40 kind of stuff.
It's or, not like a, okay, yeah, or?
Or iHeart music charts, top alternative rock, top 5 alternative rock.
Oh. Well, is this week one of those weeks where like, is it like every Kanye song like in the top?
Good question, because sometimes Spotify is like spiked by a recent release.
Right,
because like
there's a bunch of new releases that are might be.
I can give a, it is not all leaned one way.
Oh, it's a mixed bag?
It's a mixed bag. There is a Kanye in there, possibly.
I'm up for the real hot sauce of top 40.
Okay, let's keep it real.
Yeah.
I love it. He's not afraid of the top charts.
No.
All right, coming in at number 5.
Number 5.
Zach Bryan and Casey Musgraves with I Remember Everything, featuring Casey Musgraves.
Do you remember that beat down basement couch? I'd sing you my love songs and you'd tell me about how your mama ran off and pawned her ring. I remember everything. A cold shoulder, a closing time, you were begging me to stay till the sun rose. Strange words come on out of a grown man.
Is this technically a banger?
It's a duet, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. The Musgraves comes in later.
You got any lady duets you do?
We did one song years ago that wasn't really a duet, but it had two parts, like a lady part. And we've had various ladies sing songs, but not really. We didn't set them up like duets. So that's on the top 40 chart. That's number 5 in the country,
and it's actually been there for a while. The song is popular. Yeah,
shows you where the country's at.
So I mean, what does it take for a country song to cross into the top 40 chart? Do they
almost nothing anymore? Right? It just feels like there's always country up in that top 5.
Yeah, it's kind of bled like with that Diplo stuff. I don't know. It's just like they don't even have to say it's country anymore. Like it just winds up on that regular chart.
But you know? But is it reflecting like top 40 radio or top 40? Because, I mean, in a sense, you could just always quarantine all country music to just the country charts.
Yeah.
I don't see what makes it, what defines it as a crossover unless it's radio.
Maybe because it's just selling a little bit of records. You know, like they're selling so many less records now, they just pull in other genres. Like the way they threw Dolly into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
I thought I was very refreshed by her response to that, which was a total WTF, you know.
Yeah. I feel like at some point the pop mindset or the pop listener just became sort of bifurcated or something. Like it's either pop or, you know, rap R&B style, like pop, or if they want a little change of pace, it's like this kind of country sound. There's not really much like rock anymore, at least in the top five. There's not like a lot of other variation. It's like either country or pop.
Yeah. Almost like with movies, you know, they got the really big movies and not so many middling ones anymore, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't have a lot of like weirdo stuff coming in. All right, coming in number 4.
Number 4.
Noah Kahan. Kahan, I don't know, with Stick Season.
Doc told me to travel, but there's COVID on the planes, and I love Vermont, but it's the season of the sticks, and I saw your mom, she forgot that I existed, and it's half my fault, but I just like to play the victim. I'll drink alcohol till my friends come home for Christmas, and I'll dream each night of some
what? What kind of top 40 music is it? You call this?
I mean, they
rip
got
off
even
knob.
They heard what you were saying about country and doubled down on.
Right. Well, that's like some Americana.
That sounds like "Bye Bye American Pie," but he just tossed his own lyrics in there. You know the ending part where he just kind of
he just goes on a long run.
Yeah.
It's that chord progression that drives me crazy. I think it's 1-5-6-4. It's like it's just in absolutely everything for the last like 30-some years.
But some of your favorite songs are 1-6. I mean, that's
definitely. But
you
like,
know what I mean?
I feel like they spice it up in the good ones. Like they'll like that's the big payoff as you finally get the 1-5-6-4 in the chorus or whatever, rather than just ride that through the whole song.
But I bet there's some pretty killer Paul McCartney songs that are one. I mean,
well, let it be. What?
Yeah. I mean, somebody was pointing out, like, you know, people complain about like the quality of stuff from out of China, but like iPhones are made in China. Like, you know, the best things that you deal with are made in China as well.
MSG.
So. Right. It's got a bad rap. It's like that's people are realizing MSG. Like, why was it demonized? It's pretty good.
Oh, no, MSG is fantastic.
Yeah.
Hey, Howard Kramer, speaking of MSG, I know that you are collecting sauces from junk food restaurants from across Los Angeles.
I'm trying not to say collecting with these, amassing, because I intend to use them, but you're probably exactly right. It'd probably become another collection.
Yeah, you might want to be careful how long you let those linger, but I mean, if it's just for a collection, I guess it's safe, but if you're never going to open it. But I was wondering if you had checked in with this strange innovation at McDonald's. They are no longer serving Heinz ketchup at McDonald's. They after like a 100 years of you know having Heinz as their, they've changed their ketchup recipe and it is tangible. In-house?
Is it
in-house?
Oh, they it's vertically and in the vertical integration.
And you and you can taste the difference for sure. Oh,
you can absolutely taste the difference, and it's not an improvement. It's like, it's distracting. Like when it first happened, I mean, I don't eat fast food that often. I mean, I'm trying to stay alive, but like when I do, you know, when I do, I do enjoy like a McDonald's cheeseburger, and it's such a familiar, you know, everything about it is incredibly familiar as I, you know, grew up in the United States, and it's really weird when something changes, and that was. It was super distracting, but I know you're an aficionado of the spices, so I just
And I was just reading too that Heinz ketchup in particular is like the perfect product. Like it's not just ketchup, like it's like this perfect, absolute knock it out of the park, once in a lifetime perfect palate.
Right.
Yeah, because it's like sugary and
Yeah, it's like it's a perfect, but it's like Coca-Cola. Like an incredible number of people agree that it's the best iteration.
Yeah,
yes.
Of it. The way it moves across the tongue is supposed to be a unique thing.
I bet they measure that. Like, damn, we got it right.
Like the direction it takes, it goes down across the buds and into the back, and it touches everything it's supposed to.
Well, Howard, do you how's your Taco Bell collection? Or sorry, not collection, amass. How's your Taco Bell?
I'm not really making tacos, so it doesn't really apply. I'm not like out there looking for hot sauces. Plus, well, I think hot sauces is, you could buy 1,000 of them at one store.
Well, of course, I just wanted to let you know that they're redesigning the packaging and coming out with some new ones. So you might want to amass some of the current ones while you still have them. Yeah,
that's great. Okay, I will do that. Yeah.
Did you know that Taco Bell had this massive like Apple style event, like Steve Jobs style, where they're announcing new products and new sauces and stuff? I just saw this, and they're acting like this is a yearly event that everyone tunes into. And I've never seen this before. And it was crazy. The audience is just going ape shit, like clapping for these wild new.
There's going to be honey, extra honey on the new honey.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And they come up with new names, of course, like Taco Bell never just does like an authentic, you know, like empanada or whatever. They call it like a crispinada or something. And then everyone's like, what?
Big guy.
It is like food. You know, conceived by stoners, made by stoners, consumed by stoners.
Right. And it's like food events. You know, they're out there on the Taco Bell campus dreaming up the future of fast food for us. It's exciting.
I did not mean to hijack this chart show by talking about.
No, I love it.
Condiments.
I love it too. Hey, flavor is flavor.
Bringing it back to music, have you seen the newer like Super Bowl Taco Bell commercials where they have Portugal the Man as their spokespeople and they're saying
Have bands doing it.
Yeah, they have bands talking about how all they eat on tour is Taco Bell, and it's like,
wow,
made their whole tour.
Wow, that's bold moves into commerce.
Yeah.
Yeah,
maybe they'll do their own tour, like the Warp Tour, but it'll just be like the Bell Tour, and they just have all these bands on there. Seems like that could be coming.
Do you guys have a tried and true like food routine when you're touring?
You know, we
say Taco Bell. Say Taco Bell.
Yeah,
I feel like I've just like been swimming up a river of backstage hummus for 20 years.
Wow, is that in the rider? They gotta have that for you.
It's in the rider. I think the idea is that it's healthy, but it's like it is so monolithic. I'm just I don't think I'll ever eat hummus. Actually, ever eat hummus again in my life. But no, I don't. There's very little fast food that we go for voluntarily. It's usually just in desperation.
What about your groupies? What do you have to have for them? Are they Del Taco? Teasing, of course.
Okay. No. Understood. Now, we, there actually, John Linnell tells a story in this documentary that was made about They Might Be Giants, where we were driving out of Philadelphia, and this car pulled alongside us, and it was clearly a bunch of girls who had just been to our show. And we had been as backstage after show food, we had been given all these cheesesteaks. And these girls, like, you know, it was a total like sort of teeny bopper fan type moment. Like, you know, they rolled down their windows, we rolled down our windows, and John Linnell sort of yelled across to them, "Hey, you want some cheesesteaks?" And they, which I think they took as like, "Do you want to go out, you know, and get some cheesesteaks with us?" Which got a very enthusiastic response from these girls. And then, I'm like driving, and John's in the passenger side, and he just like hurls these cheesesteaks into their into their car.
He throws them in.
And then I'm like basically not paying that much attention and just sort of drive on. And it was just probably seemed like the coldest.
Yeah, like something you do to every group of fans.
Just a bucket of water dumped on them, basically.
But it was amazing. Very unintentional.
Hey, you want to go to the movies? And you just throw a VCR tape at the car.
Yeah.
That is a great story. All right, coming in at number three.
Number three.
Benson Boone with Beautiful Things. This has to be country, right? Benson Boone.
He's from Washington State.
Oh.
For wow. The girl he sent my way. But I know the things he gives, he can take away. So ultimately, is all this like, is all this the residue of American Idol? I mean, I just listen to this stuff and I just think, like, I don't even know what kind of, this doesn't seem like pop music to me at all. Like, there's nothing, it's like, all it's slow, so catchy. It's like
pseudo ballady.
It's very vocal driven, very hyper emotional.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like the kind of songs people like really listen to. You know what I mean? If it sounds like it'd be playing over in a mall or something, or in a scene.
Yeah,
like, on TV.
Yeah.
It's like safe to sell it to people.
Yeah,
it sounds emotional and nice.
But this is audience driven much more than before. Like, I don't think there's anything happening in the charts now that actually isn't a reflection of what people like. So maybe, you know, there's just a lot of people out there crying. I don't know.
No, it could be also just because of the internet and the social media. It's very easy just to be a solo artist, point the camera at yourself and sing a song on an acoustic guitar. You know, there just must be a lot more people doing that than taking the trouble to do a whole band or something.
There's always a new crop of teens, you know, crying in the room.
Yeah.
Seriously. Thank you for not going that route. Thank you for keeping it electric and upbeat.
Yes.
Our pleasure.
All right. Coming in at number two.
Number two.
Kanye West and Ty Dolla Sign with Carnival.
Jeez.
Yeah. It even sounds fascist a little.
Yeah, it has all the charms of a rally. Yeah.
Maybe he'll just start his own militia, you know, like just put together a fighting group.
That feels almost too real.
Yeah.
It's hard to even joke about him now after
in
the
your
last,
community
like,
of people, like, are there people... Like, is it like an R. Kelly type situation where it's just like he's a total no-fly zone? Like, nobody's listened to it.
Yeah,
I think so. I think it changed. I think there was a lot of years where, like, in my mind, it should have already been kind of like that. But then people gave him a pass until he was literally on Alex Jones saying, "I love Hitler," and then people are like, okay, maybe now let's listen.
Yeah, he's pretty much. Yeah, I don't hear a lot of people talking about him. I'm surprised that this made it into the top five, but I guess Ty Dolla $ign is not canceled or something.
I think just the masses, I think like the population of people just don't care about that kind of stuff as much as we do. You know, I think that's just always kind of the case. Like, there's so many teenage boys out there or whatever who are just like, I don't care. I like Kanye West. I like the music.
Right. It is like this sort of continuous blurring of the lines. But I mean, my God, could anybody play Hard to Like harder than I? You know, when Kanye first came out, I have to admit, I was super all in. I thought he just was everything. You know, he kind of embodied everything in a rapper producer that I thought was cool. And I loved his production style. And I just loved everything about him. And it's so disappointing. And in some ways, he seemed so earthbound, right? Like, he just seemed so normal in a way that a lot of rap wasn't. Like, it wasn't like conspicuously expensive. He like made fun of people who were kind of consumer-y. Mm-hmm. And
yeah, now, I remember him dressing in like just like normal like polo shirts and stuff, and just seeming like a sort of a preppy guy.
That whole college dropout moment was very just seemed very street level in a way that, you know, like a regular street level rather than like a sort of
a suburban street.
Yeah, very relatable. I think it's like Colonel Kurtz up the river. He his men loved him, and there was reasons why he was a great leader, but then he lost his mind in the isolation of it all.
Oh, there you go. That's a beautiful sentiment there, Howard.
Joseph Conrad.
Yeah.
Give him the credit.
Yeah, cool.
But yeah, he is. He's wacky now. He's gonna have to, he would have to do quite a bit to get back into my good graces. Even though I'm the same with you, I gave him full respect back in the day.
All right. Coming in at number one.
Number one.
This is Beyonce with Texas Hold'em.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
She's up on country selling.
I gotta say, I like this one.
I think this is fantastic, actually.
This ain't Texas. Ooh. Ain't no hold'em. Hey. So lay your cards down, 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 down. So park your Lexus. Ooh. And throw your keys up. Hey. Stick around, round, 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 round.
It's got a banjo on it.
Damned if I can't slow dance with you. Come pour some sugar on me, honey, too. It's a real live boogie and a real live hold down. Don't be a bitch, come take it to the floor now. Woo! There's a tornado, in my city. In the basement. That shit ain't pretty.
Beautiful backup vocals.
Yeah. The production's really cool.
It's cool.
I mean, I wonder if the whole record is going to be as, you know, I mean, that is pretty, that would fit into country radio. I wonder if that's getting played on country radio. You know,
that seems more authentically country than, you know, a lot of like Lil Nas X or whatever. Like,
yeah. Well, also, I mean, a lot of, you know, pop country just sounds like the Eagles. I mean, it doesn't sound, it doesn't really sound like country music in any 20th century.
Mm-hmm. Or a lot of it sounds almost like hair metal, too, sometimes.
Right,
like,
right. It gets weirder and weirder as it goes along. It's just, and the other thing about, well, I mean, Howard, you're really into the pop country scene. I mean, have you noticed that there's like, there are tracks with like trap beats on the country charts right
now? Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah, they absorbed all that stuff. Yeah, they got all the EDM producers working on it. There's hip hop producers. I think, it's just like when the country's down in the dumps, that stuff's always going to sell. And so now the rock isn't selling, so those guys just kind of all came over to it.
Is her album out?
I don't think so.
So this is just like a teaser track.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with it. I mean, you know, I guess going country is something that's available to any superstar at a certain point. Like, you know, Lady Gaga went country.
Right.
I don't know if that went well, or I don't think it went as well as this. I mean, this is already a number one track, so it's, you got to figure, Well, I guess Beyonce always comes out of the gate pretty huge, so.
I wonder if it's because, you know, so many country stars want to go pop. Like, that's their ambition. Like, Taylor Swift goes from country to pop, and then maybe Beyonce is going like, oh, well, then I'll take your country spot.
Yeah. Yeah. Little do-si-do.
Yeah.
Yeah, wherever there's a vacancy, they just go over there.
Right.
Well, I mean, you know, Beyonce is from Texas, right? I mean,
She has a claim.
Yeah, you know, so it's like, it's not like, you know, there's some realness there.
For sure.
Yeah, I don't think it's that odd. If she did it 10 years ago, but now it's just kind of a place where a lot of, Miley even blends the line, you know, Carrie Underwood. There's just like a lot of girls that have a foot in that.
Yeah, but the thing that surprised me about Beyonce at this moment doing it is just because her last bunch of records have been so deep in the hip hop thing, you know, like they're very, very, although I guess the last one was kind of more dance floor electronica based, but so she's been moving it around, but I think it's cool.
She's welcome in the genre. I don't want to see J-Lo or some of these other girls try to do it.
Beyonce tracks always sound to me like she's spent like 100 more hours in the studio than her contemporaries.
Like, yeah,
they always just come across like really crafted. Like she's really put a lot of time.
She does it to punish Jay-Z. She just loads up on the hours.
Yeah, they seem like stealth bomber projects. When you see the credits and there's like 20 different people credited.
Totally good comment.
Yeah, it's just like, wow.
Lockheed got a credit on her last single.
Did you see that the new Billy Joel song has like 6 writing credits on it?
Really?
Yeah, isn't that interesting? And I think
that surprises me.
Yeah.
I think it was like good song.
Yeah.
I think it was like, I don't want to take credit for this thing. Make up some names. Throw them on there.
The more I've heard it, the more I actually really like it. Or I think it's just like a good Billy Joel song. You know?
Yeah, me too. I wish it was more of a pop song and less of a sort of ballad in the beginning. And then, I don't know, the arrangement is not great, but the song itself, the bones of the song are pretty solid. But it does remind me of this thing that I used to think all the time when I heard Billy Joel, which is he's kind of an Elton John tribute act. Like there's a huge amount of what's going on with his songwriting that like the only other person you can think of is Elton John. Like it's quite specific.
I think especially with the second half, but I think there's a lot also that's a Paul McCartney tribute, or at least some of it. Like My Life, I always hear that and think, this is a Paul McCartney song. This is straight up like 70s Paul McCartney.
The Billy Joel song. Da, 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 that song. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah,
It's so McCartney, like from like 70s, like Silly Love Songs era.
Right,
McCartney.
Right. Oh, I get that. I hear that.
Yeah.
Well, he kind of went from, well, he became a real chameleon later on. Like, you know, there's almost, I mean, that whole album of the Innocent Man stuff is very pastiche.
Totally.
Know? Yeah. But, you know, pretty high quality stuff.
And then there's doo-wop revival stuff.
He's Elton John without the outfits. I'll strip it down. Just wear a blazer.
Yeah, Long Island Elton John. All right.
Where's my wainscoting?
There you go.
Deserve
he's got
it.
A lot. Them's the music charts.
Oh, that's the music chart. Whoa.
Number one to Beyonce.
There you go.
She deserves it. She's the queen, consistently putting out original stuff.
Yeah.
She's the McDonald's ketchup.
There's also this narrative about her that I think Jay-Z keeps putting out there that she's almost an underdog, you know, even though she's like dominated for the last like 25 years.
Yep. Well, I think in defense of what sounds like an insane complaint for someone, you know, defending someone who's probably won more Grammys than anybody, saying that they haven't won enough Grammys, I think specifically what he was saying is that she's never won any of the big 4 Grammys, which is a kind of ghettoization for hip hop artists and artists of color in general.
So it's more of an overall note.
You can win like best engineering or like, you know, some other lesser lesser award, like your genre of music's award, but you don't win record of the year, even if you have the number one selling record of the year, it goes to a safer, older artist. I mean, right. Yeah, the Grammys, listen, I didn't think there was anything in the world that was more jive than the Grammys until I won one. And now I just got to say, I want to thank everybody.
Thank Taco Bell.
Yeah. I want to thank Taco Bell for sponsoring the tour. You know, it's like an inherently suspect thing. Awards are absolutely suspect, but I think the point he was making was actually it made a certain amount of sense.
I get it. And she's had some monster albums that deserved it.
But sure. Every year Taylor Swift was up for record of the year and won. Beyonce had, you know, Lemonade or Renaissance or, you know, like, you know, Beyonce's had some incredibly, you know, groundbreaking records that have just not ever gotten any major awards.
The only thing I would say, the slight cynic in me or whatever, to people who are like outraged about the Grammys is like, just go back. Remember, like, Jethro Tull winning over Metallica. It's like the Grammys have always got it wrong.
It's a television show.
Yeah. Oh, I mean,
except for They Might Be Giants.
You know, yesterday was up for a Grammy and lost to, like, King of the Road.
Right.
I mean, I love the song.
I love that song. Yeah, I love Roger
King
Miller.
Of the Road's great, but, like, I mean, I think in the history of songs, it might have been yesterday's year and Grammy just kind of goofed.
Yeah, that's crazy. Totally. It's weird to think of those songs coming out in the same year.
To me, it's weird. I have to say, it's weird that King of the Road was ever written by anyone. It just seems like a Supernatural song. I mean yesterday's kind of the same.
Kind of the same.
Yeah, it's like bigger than humanity.
Yeah. It's magic.
Wait, remind me which category you guys won.
We've been nominated 4 times. We've won twice. We got best song in a TV show or a film, and that was for the theme for Malcolm in the Middle, the Boss of Me song.
Oh yeah.
And then we won for best children's album for Here Come the 1-2-3s, which was a Disney project.
Do you did you hope to create a different generation with that? Were you hoping to influence kids? Have you spoke to the older kids?
I think that was probably in the back of the minds of our management the whole time. We were trying to figure out if we could actually just have 2 kind of parallel careers and have it make any sense at all, which at a certain point it became clear to us that it didn't really make that much sense. But the truth is, we have so much kids stuff in the world that, like, kids from now forever will be able to be, you know, safely raised on a whole set of our music, kids music. So it just kind of has its own legacy now. But we do see a lot of people, you know, teenagers and people in their 20s, and I just figure, you know, they're just into, like, some deep dive into alternative 80s music, but it's actually like they were raised on us. So we're just kind of, we are Peter Tork to them.
Right.
Yeah.
And were they raised on the They Might Be Giants stuff, or they started with the kids stuff? And now
they really
older?
Started with the kids stuff and then moved into the adult stuff, which is not that uncommon, it turns out, which kind of surprises me. But, you know, you just never know how people discover anything.
Right. Well, interesting. I mean, Have a Summer should have done that. I don't know what happened. Should have brought the kids.
Well, it's interesting now. I feel like the children's market, the children's songs market is so huge and exploded now, but everything's so kind of segregated. So it's like, not, if you're not paying attention to it, if you don't have kids, you don't hear it at all. But like my window into it is my nieces. My brother has like 2 twin nieces, and then hearing all the songs that they're obsessed with, there's some like really brilliant stuff going on.
Oh, really?
There. Yeah. Or like, you know, I've heard some things. I'm like, oh, that's like really clever, you know. But there's like artists out there who are just nailing it. Better than Baby Shark.
I mean, Baby Shark seems like it's just, you know, robbing the cultural DNA of 1-800-CAR-FOR-KIDS.
Yeah.
It's just like, how can we create a song that, you know, makes you want to commit suicide in 15 seconds?
Have you heard there's like a adult guy on that now? Like sometimes when that commercial comes on, there's a guy, an adult man singing with the kids.
Like, baby.
I have to say, like, when that thing happens, I just like leap up and turn it off. Like,
me too.
It can't handle. Freaks me out how bad it is.
Yeah.
Song was written.
Yeah, that's number one right there. Number one by a mile. It just has to.
Moving on to cheerier topics.
Yeah.
Let's take a break.
It's terrible. Oh yeah, let's take a break. We'll be right back with the movie chart.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
I mean, don't blame Taylor for outselling Beyonce when she's dropping those F-bombs right into the middle of the country song.
Is there an F-bomb in this one?
But
there was two curses in the one we just heard.
Taylor's swearing now too, though.
Yeah.
Is she?
Yeah. She's gotten fresh.
Oh, on her Jack Antonoff tracks?
Yeah. I haven't really kept up with her music, I have to say. I don't know what the new Taylor Swift stuff sounds like. Although I guess the Anti-Hero song I heard.
Kind of sounds like that.
I thought Anti-Hero was good.
I like Anti-Hero too. It's just all very, I just heard it too much.
But, you know what's funny about the Anti-Hero thing is that it came out right when the term tea was completely dominating the culture. Like people would just say, like, spill the tea,
Spill the tea, yeah.
And what's odd is that the chorus has a reference to it, but people don't know that it's talking about spilling the tea. It's like about being a gossip.
Right.
And people just hear it. It's like, what is, as a non sequitur, they're just like, what does that lyric mean? It's one of those lyrics that's just not heard.
What is the lyric?
What is it? Anti-hero lyrics.
Maybe she just got paid to promote tea. Like Lipton gave her money. She just drops tea in there.
It's me. Hi, I'm the problem. It's me. At tea time, everybody agrees. Which is to say,
there you go.
So I stare directly at the sun, but never in the mirror. It must be exhausting, always rooting for the anti-hero. So like, it was just, I don't know. It was just a weird cultural thing where
right.
You just hear lots of people sort of going like, what is she talking about?
Yeah.
Tea time.
In 20 years from now, people will look back like, isn't that an odd lyric?
Yeah.
Is she trying to be like Madonna and go British? Like, what is she talking about? Tea time.
Tea time. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Want to bring us back to the movie chart?
My name.
Movies.
Here we go. I'm H. Michael Cray here with the guests, John Flansburgh and
Brett Morris.
Start. And this is the movie chart.
Have you heard the new lyrics, John?
Sure.
All right.
Movies, they used to be too silent. Nowadays, they're too loud and
violent.
Most of them, I am not a client. People on the big screen are friggin' giant.
They might be.
Movies, giant. Woo.
Movies.
Thank you. Collab, check that out.
Yeah.
It's better than Blake Shelton and Gwen Stefani, I'll tell you that. I don't want anyone defending that one. Maybe I'll play
it. Oh, God, I saw that. I tuned in to the TikTok feed or whatever, the like Gwen Stefani stage before the Super Bowl. And because there was like an exclusive TikTok thing and she was playing a full show. And most of it was like, pretty good. But then she did the Blake Shelton duet. Oof. And I thought there was zero chemistry at all. Like, even just tonally, zero. Like the way their voices blended.
Less than zero.
It devalued both of them somehow.
It's very hard to try to get them on the same song. I mean, they could. Yeah. I could see that song working for either of them if it was solo. Like, it's just right there. But them together, it just doesn't blend well.
Nah. They should just keep their music separate in their relationship.
Do you think that guy with the beard is a beard?
Yeah.
I'm interested to see No Doubt come back together, though.
If they leave Blake out of it, I don't want him walking out there for encores.
Blake's in No Doubt now.
Still want him involved.
Yeah.
There must be whole counties of California near San Diego that are just dying for them to get back together, right?
Oh, Orange County.
Oh, that's true. Yeah,
part of people's lives,
because
they were a big local band for years before they broke out.
Yeah, so, Scott Aukerman knew them very well. He grew up with them. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, I could see Tustin or someplace like that where they they're far enough out that they like country, but then they're also not hip enough to be past No Doubt. I can see it.
I mean, I really liked the Tragic Kingdom like everyone else did. I thought that was great. But they took a long time to get to that level.
I just remember somebody saying that they were the band that opened for all the big bands. And they were just the big local opener for years and years. They were always just plugged into whatever show you saw. If you were in a friend of mine grew up in San Diego, and I think he has very, very sentimental notions about them.
Definitely. Maybe she's replaced that bassist. Remember, all the No Doubt songs were about her relationship with the bassist. Maybe that's Blake now.
You can't replace the bass guy.
Yeah, but maybe it's Blake Shelton now playing bass. She needs a relationship.
No Doubt with stand-up bass. He comes out with the washtub bass.
I hope that doesn't happen. All right.
He was cool. He had a lot of style, too.
Ah, he was great. Let's do the movies. I did go to the theaters this weekend.
What'd you see?
I'll let you know as we
count on the chart. It's one of those, yeah.
All right, coming in at number five.
Number five.
The Beekeeper.
This is private property.
Do you know what they do here? Scamming the weakest in our society.
Buddy, on count of three.
One, two, three. There, I did it for you.
No, you can't take it. You can't take the bees. Me.
Will you stomp his ass out?
All right. I did not see this one.
You can't take it.
So, are there actual bees involved?
It's a good question.
I've heard there's a lot of bee language involved, but I don't know about bees themselves. They make a lot of bee puns.
I can see, the bees need to be saved. Maybe it's not an easy thing to get real bees for a movie these days. So he just, he fights instead.
I don't know what kind of movie that is.
I think it's an action movie that's meant to be laughed at a little bit. It feels to me.
It's a Stone Cold movie. John Cena, just another guy.
Bring but your those Taco movies, Bell. Into the theater.
Yeah, exactly.
I've been trying to learn Spanish, and those action movies are good because they don't have a lot of dialogue. It's very simple to figure out what's going on.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Kramer, I'm really impressed with your self-improvement kicks.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. Well, why not learn Spanish?
Someone's got to improve me. I might as well do it.
Wait, so you're saying you watch... What, Spanish dubs or
No, you just turn Mexican on Univision. Yeah, you just put on the, the Spanish channel, Univision or whatever. They have them on there.
Okay.
And you can watch them on Amazon too. Or just any streaming service, you can just kind of choose the Spanish subtitles and stuff.
Yeah. So you have been actively doing that.
Yeah, I'm learning Spanish. But
I think the tradition of learning a foreign language off of television is pretty, pretty real these days. I mean, I think a lot of people they watch sitcoms and it helps, it gives you the you know, dialogue, like familiar dialogue.
Yeah. You can tell too, like some people, they say purchase instead of buy, like that they like learned TV from commercials and stuff. Like they just use odd words. And
oh stuff. Yeah. I know what you mean.
Yeah. Like if I went to Mexico right now, I'd probably sound like, you know, an insurance commercial. Jama ja.
Right.
You know?
All right. Cool. Coming in at number four. The Argyle, or no, sorry, just Argyle. This was not the movie I saw.
Who are these people?
Real life spies.
Why would they care about me?
Because you're a goddamn fortune teller, Ellie. What you wrote in your new book actually happened, and you kicked a hornet's nest you didn't even know existed.
I'm in some really big trouble, Mom.
Oh, so now you're experimenting with drugs.
I want all assets on them now.
I need her to write the next chapter.
Too much, baby.
God, I hate that cat.
That is a star-studded something.
Yeah.
Yeah, something.
What kind of movie is that?
It's like Kingsman, all the Kingsmen are...
These strange action movies, but then with a giant, like, classic song in the trailer that's made to sound.
That was the best part. Suspicious Minds.
Yeah.
It sounded like it came from the Elvis movie, the Baz Luhrmann one. It was just like a weird remix of some classic Elvis.
But they got, you know, the woman from SCTV, Catherine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. O'Hara.
And, you know. Breaking Bad guy, and it's like
Dua Lipa's in it too.
Oh, really?
She's the blonde girl, the femme fatale in there.
Oh, how does she? Can she act? Or I mean, maybe you can't tell from this.
We'll see.
Yeah,
enough. She hasn't been in anything else, has she? Like acting wise.
I don't know. This might be the debut. She got hot enough as a chanteuse. They threw her in a flick.
That's like in the new Wicked coming out, Ariana Grande is in it. So it's just like a big trend, I guess.
She probably has to sing in that one, I would think. Let's say make that
anonymous.
She's got
to act also. I'm sure she's singing.
She was a Disney kid, right? She's probably an actor. She's probably.
Yeah, she's seasoned. She's a seasoned pro.
Yeah.
Okay, coming in at number three.
Number three.
Migration.
Here we are together. Woo! We're on an adventure. Yes! Seeing what else life has to offer. Ah! Is that a little scary? Sure, but isn't it worth it?
Brett, I'm guessing this is the movie you saw.
No, <it's not. laughs>
With your niece or whatever.
Yeah, right.
No?
Nope. Did not see this one. I will never see this, I don't think.
What studio is this from? Migration.
Dave's Hot Wings. Or all those Nashville hot wings, all that stuff. Best fucking hot wings.
Illumination?
Oh, I don't know.
Illumination studio?
There must be a pretender to the Pixar throne. Like
Yeah.
One of those.
Yeah.
I don't know. All right.
The movies too.
Coming in at number two.
Number two.
This is Madam Web.
What do you want from me? Why do you care for me? Why do you know?
This is the movie that I saw.
Ah.
Whoa.
Get your stuff. Let's go.
This movie is quickly becoming so bad it's worth seeing.
Really?
Out there interesting. In the culture. It's like almost taking on a Cats vibe, like the Cats movie from a couple years ago, where people are making an event of going to see and laugh at this piece of trash.
Were people laughing actively when you were saw it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, it is absurd.
Was Dakota Johnson there throwing toast at the screen? It's the only thing I've observed from a distance is it seems like I've never seen the moment of the release of a movie and to a star sort of disparaging the movie be so mm-hmm. close together. Like yeah. she's on a press junket promoting this movie and it seems like she's actively dissing it.
Yes. Yeah. She has to be because it's that bad. I mean, it's that much of a, what the hell? Like, how did this possibly get made?
Is this part situation? Of the Marvel extended universe? It is. Cinematic it universe?
Is. Which
and
is,
does it fit into it?
I mean, what, well, that's one of the craziest parts. It does its hardest to fit into the Spider-Man universe.
Uh-huh.
And it completely, I mean, it just, it's a non-starter in terms of, I mean, I'm not some aficionado of the Spider-Man movies, but even from what little I know, it makes no sense that this fits in at all to that. Because you would have to rewrite all of the Spider-Man movies to acknowledge that this whole world exists, where there's already been spider people throughout New York, like doing hey, these hey, huge
no,
things. Hey,
no spoilers, Brett. Spider people. Yeah.
Well, yeah. I mean, this thing is not worth holding out for non spoilers. It just okay. it all makes it almost more entertaining. To watch just in total bafflement. Like you're just wondering like, wait, what? The whole right. time there's entire people that are unexplained. There's the entire villain is just dubbed over bizarrely with like, he's an English speaking person, but it's clearly ADR, but it almost sounds like AI is taking all the lines for him. Like this weird accent you've never heard before. It's just so strange the whole way through. It's a huge train wreck, and it's kind of fun to watch for that reason, you know?
That's well, two for her, isn't it? I mean, 50 Shades of Grey, people were laughing at that too when it came out.
Yeah.
Right. But at a certain point, your career starts kind of rhyming with failure.
Yeah.
Like... Showgirls, but then she does another one that sucks. It's pretty impressive.
Right. I don't think it's her fault. I think she does her job fine in this. I think it's the if you look at the writers and their resume, you're just like, wow, this is an epic list of just terrible, terrible movies. And these people, you know,
they must be good in a room
more. Yeah.
They must be good at pitching.
I feel like Dakota Johnson would be a really good rom-com star. I feel like her yeah. natural thing, it would be much lighter and sunnier, mm-hmm. but it doesn't. But I guess she was introduced to the world in this kind of sideways way with the Shades of Grey movies. Which
she should get Jay-Z to advocate for her.
Absolutely.
This girl needs to be in better movies.
There's a lot to talk about with this movie, but I don't want to spoil it or go down that road. All right, coming in at number one.
Number one.
This movie almost looks equally as bad to me. This is Bob Marley, One Love.
Won't you help to sin? These songs of freedom.
He kind of messed up that one, though.
All I ever have.
Is this Reacher?
Yeah.
Songs. When you write that?
All my life.
Hit. Reggae is the people music.
You know you're a superstar.
I am a superstar.
I don't know.
Wow.
The trailer I've seen for this just made it look like really like made for TV style movie. But
yeah,
we'll see. You know, I would love a really good Bob Marley biopic. Not sure. This
yeah,
is the
but
one.
The whole biopic idea seems to have completely run out of gas.
Oh, I'm with you on that. They're so bad. Yeah. I would love.
I'd rather get a documentary every
reinvented.
Time. Elvis, they did a kind of a good job of making theirs a little different with the Elvis movie, but yeah. For most of them that do it by numbers, just much rather have a documentary or a pop-up book or anything.
Pop-up book.
Just some text messages about
the Elvis. Bob Marley's anything. Foot pop-up.
But I mean, how can you live in a post Dewey Cox world and not have it sort of affect how you're going to structure or approach something? I mean, the opening scene of that with Bob Marley just playing, you know, at a campfire playing a song on acoustic guitar. That's like that is. I mean, they should have had him playing Wonderwall. You know, it was just like so. It was like so cringe.
Right.
Yes.
Flip it.
Yeah.
It's like the Bohemian Rhapsody too. I was like angry when I watched that. It was just so full of moments like that where you're just like, what? The real story is totally interesting. You don't have to make Freddie Mercury just like do this monologue about Bohemian Rhapsody in an office, you know, or like there where Bob Marley's playing Redemption Song perfectly for this.
Yeah, everything's always shoehorned together. Like, there was no way that's what happened. They always take three incidents and put them into one scene, like it all happened at once.
Yeah, or also that like these people's lives are somehow, you know, filled with philosophical stances and meaningful battles. You know, it's like it's too much like the estates of these people kind of trying to shuffle them into less complicated lives than they really have.
Yes, after the fact.
Yeah, it's also a way to gloss over how great the songs are or like what is interesting about them, which is the music. Whereas like I would be interested in the making of Redemption Song throughout his life or whatever the real story is. But the way they do it is, oh no, let's just listen to the final product a little bit and then just have, you know, let's get through that and then go into this character drama stuff.
Which sort of reminds me of what actually is really kind of exceptional about the movie Ray, because the actor could play the piano really well, like actually had real facility and was an incredible mimic of Ray Charles' style. Like you really got some insight into what Ray Charles was kind of, how he was challenging the culture, what was really singular in his music, and, you know, just taking sort of gospel energy and putting it into a pop setting. You know, he's just such a great talent, and that musical, those sort of historic points are made so well in the movie. I mean, obviously there's like gossipy stuff and biographical stuff that's sort of, you know, I mean, there's drugs and all sorts of other things that are kind of challenging to some people, but like there's a lot of music in the movie, and it's exciting to see music in a movie.
Yeah, when it's about the music, so many of them are just about the personal life, and that's not even the interesting stuff a lot of times.
Yeah.
Jamie Foxx did totally knock that one out of the park.
Yeah,
I thought he sucked. I'm sorry. I thought he sucked.
I don't know who this guy is. Did you recognize him? The one playing Bob Marley? He just seems like too handsome or something. Like he just look. He's too. I don't know. I just don't believe it when I see.
Yeah. Him although Bob Marley was pretty handsome, I think.
He was, but in a less generic way or something.
Yes.
It's hard to cast a guy who looks perfect, but
right. Okay. That was number one.
Number one.
Yeah, so it's doing well.
One love.
Wow, that movie got panned when it came out.
I know. And I think people went for Valentine's Day because they saw the love and they don't think.
That's funny. It got a higher score than Madam Web, though. I'll give it that.
I'd rather see Madam Web, I think.
Yeah, I think you'll have a better time.
If you're going to try to learn Spanish off of one of these movies, I would recommend Madam Web. Actually, maybe not. Maybe that's, if it's complicated plot-wise, that'll be confusing. You're Madam busy Web conjugating verbs. I don't conjugate universes. I don't do that. And that's the movies, and we'll be right back with the hot picks.
The hot picks. The hot picks. The third chart is the hot picks, and the countdown's about to start. Let's see who brought a hot pick, and let's see who did not. The hot picks. The hot picks.
The hot picks. My favorite cue of all of all your cues. The beat on this. The beat on this cue is so great.
Let's just start on the table in the control room.
I know, but it's funky.
That's wild. It's the ones you just whip off, right?
Yeah.
What's your...
Well, I've tried to reproduce that beat because I feel like it's a very energized beat. And there's something about it that I can't quite get.
Wow.
There's a little hitch in it, some in the middle.
Wow. You want to use...
Brett, can you pound out the beat on a table?
I can do that for you.
just demonstrate it for us. Demonstrate it for us.
Let's do it.
On the table.
I don't have that much table space right here. Here we go.
Do it.
Right?
It's the end. So it's like a cheerleader.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, Mickey style.
It's very cheerleader. I have to hear it again to remember the nuances.
It's cool. It's got a pocket.
These are the hot picks. We'll see if we did better than the Spotify, Country, iHeart, whatever we did. And there's a good chance we did. We've got some big brains in here today. And music is the name of the game. Let's see how we did.
All right, coming in number five.
Number five.
This is a Howard pick that easily could have been a Brett pick as well. This is Idols with Hall and Oates. They have a new album that just got released. I listened to most of it. Some good stuff. Hall & Oates.
Fascinating. So it's a very positive Hall & Oates song. I really thought it was going to be like a, I hate those guys.
Right, right. Yeah. So sappy like Hall & Oates.
Right. And it was like, no. But so
who is he singing
about? These guys
about
have been around for a while, like Idols. And they're kind of like Viagra Boys. Like, is there a term for like this sort of like, naughty bits.
You know, right, right. Yeah.
When someone stole my pants.
Yeah, like bloke rap or something.
Bloke. Yeah.
Yeah, there's definitely like a rap influence to a post-punk kind of thing, to a punk thing. It's like, I know what you mean. Bloke rock is a good good description of it. I really like Idols. I think they're a pretty like special band. And on this new record, he's singing a lot more than I've ever heard. Like,
he's
like
in love.
Actually tunefully singing, which I'm like, oh, that's cool that they're like growing and trying things. I will say that I think like, the
it's
hard
like an
pounding.
Emotionally challenged guy trying into words. It's like Hall & Oates.
Yeah, but there's other songs where he's really melodically.
I know.
Singing.
I'm just having fun. I like the band.
Yeah, I was gonna say the hard pounding songs like this still are the best songs on the album, like by far to me. There's some stuff that kind of meanders, but they're good.
They have a tie dye T-shirt for sale that has the slogan "Love is the thing."
The thing.
The thing. F-I-N-G. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So are they, do they get filthy like the Viagra Boys, or is it just more?
No, they're more just wrought with emotion, and you know, they kind of like.
He seems like he's like an intensely passionate guy who's like it's more positive lyrics to me.
Uh-huh.
The ones that I pick out more seem like he's more into like a justice and like, you know, he's sort of like woke, but in a cool. In a punk,
yeah, it's more angst, I would say, than the Viagra Boys. It's less like
woke in a head buddy kind of way.
It's more sort of broadly political, righteous anger or whatever, righteous intensity.
Right on. I want to check these guys out.
Check out their performance. I would watch their performance from Coachella last year. I was so impressed by that.
Oh wow!
I thought they just killed it.
That's great.
All right,
it's great to see that they get to play at Coachella.
Number four,
John's pick. This is Wolfman and Jacob Jeffries. Nice to meet you. Nice to you.
I'm nice to you. I try for you. I die for you. I'm nice to you, but you're just not into me. I'm nice to you. I try for you. I die for you. I'm nice to you, but you're just not into me. It's been a long time since we sat on the roof and listened to Sondheim. You told me you faked getting wasted at the cast party. I said you're so good at acting, commitment to feigning, drunk takes crafting, over the top, and you'll stop blending in, and maybe that's where I lost you. Well, maybe that's what you always do. Pretend that you're into the guy that you're next to. The hook isn't deep, you just catch and release. I'm nice to you.
The song is so tightly written, it's really hard to feel comfortable interjecting at all. So do you know that the band Wolfpack?
Yes. I was going to ask, is this related to Wolfpack?
Yeah, it's like a spinoff of, I think it's one of the fellows from Wolfpack, yeah. Who made a record last year, and it's very Wolfpack-y. I was very late to the whole Wolfpack thing. Like, I know they're incredibly appealing kind of funk band that I guess famously sold out like Madison Square Garden or something without being on a major label, which is like,
wow,
you know, pretty unprecedented.
They have a little cottage industry of their Wolf people. Like, they do all these side projects that are all super fun. And then Corey Wong, the guitarist, he's like a master at his own branding, I guess. He's like a real brand out there of funk guitarists.
Yeah, and I feel like generationally they just, you know, people hitting the scene in the past like 10 years are just so good at kind of defining themselves in the public eye. Like, it just comes really natural.
Yeah, and they're just, they're incredibly tight musicians, and they make I like it. I like that they're bringing tight live playing into, you know, and making that fun for people again.
You
just don't see that as much anymore. Like, hey, look how like really tight we are as a band. Like, look how we execute
They're just seem like a songs. Great band, and they've got you know, some of their recordings are just so cool. The Wolfman record is really good. It's got a bunch of like very, you know, fun, surprising songs on it. It even has like a spoken word thing on it that's kind of cool in its own. It's not rap. It's just like he's just like reading a written piece about sort of about tools.
Have you listened to are you aware of Lewis Cole?
No.
And some of his stuff. You might like his stuff. It's almost like a similar generation in a way, where he's like this virtuosic drummer, like sort of, but really, he's just really, really good. But he does tons of different projects that you under different names and different guises and concepts. And there's a lot of just
so like does the devil
really sophisticated musicianship, but it's in this sort of fun, street level way, like they're in a basement, like really playing together. I think you like it. All right, coming in at number three.
Number three.
This is my pick. This is new James Brown that they unearthed. And it's called We Got to Change. I thought this was pretty cool to hear him, like a unreleased James Brown.
Wow. This is, what year?
One, two, three, four. This is like get
a... Yeah. You know 2024. Like come
on, get in the I'll look it up. You know I like it in the jungle. When I went to school, I never had no doubt. One thing I just didn't want to be. That brother, drop out. Tried to get my lesson. Tried to be real smart.
So there's a little remixing going on here too. There's a little bit of remixing in
definitely some remixing, but it's a cool mix. Like it's
they did a cool
job with it. I think it's awesome. That's a single though, so it counts. It's a hot pick.
All right.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I wonder how much of it is just laying around and how much they did now.
I think there's two versions. I think there's one that's just like the raw version that they did on, you know, they recorded and they didn't release. And then I think this is the more worked up 2024, you know, more exciting version in some ways.
You know, just on a parallel, genre thing, George Clinton is making the rounds doing interviews right now. There's a book out about him and, what's wild is he, you know, George Clinton for, you know, years and years and years was really kind of like lost in a world of drugs. Like,
yes.
Yeah,
he just didn't make, you know, he didn't really do any interviews. And when he did, he didn't make any sense. And it just seemed like he was just really way too busy getting high. And what's weird is, I guess, like 4 or 5 years ago, he got straight.
Wow.
His health was really deteriorating quickly, and you know, he just kind of got the heads up, like, you got to cool it or you're gonna die. Mm-hmm. And he just quit. But what's wild is he has total recall of his entire life. It's really startling because he has just really strong opinions. He really understands like where his music is coming from.
Yeah.
He remembers all sorts of contemporary things, you know, that other people were doing, you know, back in the day. And it's just fascinating. I mean, he was on the Quest Love podcast and it was really interesting. He was on, I'm trying to think of what the other one he was on. Rick Rubin podcast.
Maybe. Oh yeah. I got to listen to that.
If ever you thought there was a guy who wouldn't be able to retain anything.
Right. You know? It's like Keith Richards, too. He has a shocking memory for stuff.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
and a clarity, you realize, like, you know, once he's not fucked up.
But of course they would, because they were so, you know, they were so passionate when they started, like, you know, they're into it. You know, they're really focused up on this stuff, and little things meant a lot in the world of, you know, just speaking of the world of like musical decisions, they just, it's really cool. It's super exciting to hear him talk. But
it's like a version of him we didn't think we'd get, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and then you think back, like Parliament and Funkadelic and all of his projects are obviously brilliant. So he's at the head of it. So it's like he knew what he was doing, and he must have been a leader back then for the whole thing. You're just never quite sure how it all worked. I'm glad he's able to tell the story now. Isn't it true that Parliament and Funkadelic, this is the story I always heard, that they were the same band and they basically just had two different names to get two different record deals.
Yeah, I think Parliament was signed to a really bad long-term deal, and they just they wanted to do more stuff. So it was just it just gave them some freedom.
Genius. It's like, why don't we just start a new band, all the same members? We just get a better deal.
Exactly.
It's just that simple. all right, coming in at number one. Oh, sorry, number two. One. Wait.
Number two. In the Kanye West position.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry. This is John's second pick. This is I Fought the Law by The Clash.
First of all, that guitar, totally killer.
So what was that?
That guitar, complete killer. This track to me, you know, like I just heard the song the other day, and I love what the Clash did with it. I heard this weird story about this song that I wanted to just relate, which is, you know, in Britain, they didn't have like a million radio stations. They didn't have FM radio, even when The Clash were coming up as a band. They didn't have like oldies radio or CBS FM or people that were just like playing, the Four Seasons every 45 minutes, the way I think most people in the U.S., like we all grew up hearing the Bobby Fuller Four version of I Fought the Law. Like it was not a unusual song. The Clash had to come to the United States and be hanging out in a bar in San Francisco with a cool old jukebox to hear I Fought the Law. They had never, they were on tour, their first American tour. They had never even heard the song before. I can't, you know, it's just, so it just makes you realize how different cultures can be. Like, you know, Britain, you know, Great Britain is a bunch of islands, you know, they can actually, they actually were sort of remote, and they heard the song and they were just like, that's a killer song. Let's do that song. And I just think it's such a fantastic version. It's so great to hear the Clash, like Clashify, you know, a great garage rock track. And, I don't know. I love the Clash.
No, so me too. I think it's one of the best covers ever. I mean, just as far as like taking something and making it your own and having it have all the immediacy of what you do. So classic.
They captured their sound so well too. Like it still just jumps out of the speakers in the most exciting way. It doesn't sound old or new or anything. It's just like,
yeah, it's just timeless. The
Clash just sounds so awesome.
And then, John, how did you feel about when John Cougar rewrote the whole thing when he said, I fight authority, authority always wins?
Oh, man.
He just remade it. He didn't want to pay residuals. He just wrote his own version.
That was like a whole new chapter in sound-alike-ism. It was weird because it did have a lot of the same qualities. I didn't know. It was freaky.
Yeah. And also on a sadder note, I think Bobby Fuller was like found dead in a car. There was some kind of weird thing with him. His life, he had a weird life.
Yeah. Well, it was totally shrouded in mystery. Like there's like some talk about like psychedelic drugs or some talk about like weird, like mob stuff. I don't think anybody's ever going to know what really happened with him.
Yeah. A true musical mystery.
Yeah.
Almost similar to that thing of like them having never heard that song. There's that, it's funny when you discover songs like that. Like there's that Paul McCartney song, Mole of Kintyre, where it's like, I felt like I discovered that personally later in life after I felt like I've exhausted all of his catalog, and then just being like, God, this song is good. Why don't people talk about this? This is a good song. And then discovering that that was a number one hit and like so massively overplayed in England that they are all sick of that song.
Yeah.
And it's like never played on the radio here. Right. Ever.
I think Mull of Kintyre is like the best selling single of all time in Great Britain.
Wow.
But it's never, it didn't get any attention in the States, at least in my lifetime.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of an inside thing, right? Culturally.
I was the first person to MapQuest it. It's actually a place.
It is a place. All right, coming in at number one.
Number one.
Howard's pick. This is Pitbull and Dolly Parton, Powerful Women.
Yeah.
It's Mr. Worldwide with the one and only.
You're going to have to get to the Dolly part. You got to.
Oh, yeah, he said that.
Nice pin.
Oh, is this doing 9 to 5? Move ahead. The boss won't seem to let me. I swear sometimes the man is out to get me. Ooh. Here's to your mama and here's to mine. Thank you, Dolly. Dolly. Dolly.
Mama worked hard her entire life. She had 12 kids at 35. Ooh. Working 24/7, 365.
She rapping?
5 to 9 and 9 to 5. They let you dream just to watch them shatter. You just step on the boss man's ladder. You got dreams he'll never take away.
Never take away.
You're all in the same boat with the love of your friends. Waiting for the day your ship will come in. Time's gonna turn and it's all gonna roll your way. Working 9 to 5. 9 to 5. Living barely gets by. I've got no time.
She never mails it in.
Wow.
If you get Dolly on a song, she's gonna write new verses. She's gonna put time and effort into it.
That's wild. But,
she felt like she kind of found her old voice like as she was recording that. Like it started off maybe a little shaky, and then suddenly she's hitting these high notes and
she kicks in.
Yeah,
is that the same rock album that she just did?
I don't know. I think this just might be a new single. I don't know if it's on that rock album.
She's making a lot of plays these days.
But an interesting thing about it is one of the things that Pitbull always says is Dale, which means give it to me. He always says that in all of his songs. So as the song was going on, I was like, hang on, Dale. And then at the end of the song, he's like, Dale. And he starts laughing.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Wow.
It dovetails with his whole career. Right. I wonder, did she get new management or something? It just seems like there's people pushing her in like all
right.
These
she's in the mix more
pop directions.
Yeah,
yeah. Well, it's like this is like her fourth time around. It seems like
right. Yeah, I think like when they said we want you to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, it was odd, you know. And then she thought, wow, pivot into it, put out a rock album. She's always been really busy and productive.
Yeah.
But it's strange for someone so old to be so all over it.
It just seems like she's making a big play to do those like collaborations and cross genre things to like get in the top 40 or something.
Yeah. It's probably to support her imagination library. You know,
how was
illiteracy.
The Pitbull part of that song, Howard.
Oh, it's okay. It's just, you know.
They should have gotten the lover. What was that guy?
Yeah.
Shaggy?
Shaggy. Shaggy in there.
What's Shaggy up to? He should come back.
I think he's counting his money.
Yeah. Yeah. Banging on the bathroom floor. shout out to that. Shout out to all that we heard this week. And shout out to you, John. So exciting to have you on. Thank you so much for blessing us with this visit.
Thanks so much.
Thank you guys so much. This is totally my pleasure. I've got to get back to work now. I don't want to. This was fun.
And you're going to be touring too. The Midwest.
Yes, we're going everywhere in the Midwest. If you live in the Midwest, we're coming your way. We're doing two night stands of a lot of places in big old theaters. We got an 8-piece band. It's super loud. It's going to be a ton of fun.
Do you do any nods to Ozark? Will you cover the Ozark soundtrack or anything like that? Midwestern stuff?
No, we don't really change it up for too much for where we are. We do occasionally dip into the Destiny's Child catalog, though.
Oh, really?
Beyonce.
Really?
Yes, we have
Survivor?
A
song. What song do you do? Survivor?
No, I won't spoil it. I'll leave it as a surprise, but it always gets a really big response when we do it, so it's easy. It's kind of fun to do.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for coming. We look forward to seeing all of you again. Oh, Star, you got any plugs?
Sure. Go watch Destroy All Neighbors.
Check out Comedy Bang Bang World.
Oh. All right. You want to plug? Destroy All Neighbors on Shudder. And I believe you can rent it now just on Amazon Prime and some others, which is good for some people. It's a fun splatter comedy full of practical effects. And I did all the music with my writing partner, Ryan Kattner. And lots of fun music in there, wall to wall.
Cool.
Check it out.
Absolutely check that out. Also, Grift Horse with Megan Beth Keister and Drop Date. And we will see you right here next week on Who Charted.